good to be back with you guys. I appreciate the privilege of being here. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to talk about four different kinds of soil that gets seed sown in it. Matthew chapter 13. Let's just read here. 13 verse 3. Matthew chapter 13. Here, let me help you. You found it? All right, good. Matthew chapter 13 verse 3. It says, "He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now he said in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know he wasn't talking about these things you got on the side of your head? Because everybody's got them. He's talking about a heart to understand what he's talking about. And I discovered that here not too long ago that I thought I understood what he was saying, but I figured out I didn't really understand. So can I tell you what I found out? He's talking about seed being sown in the hearts of men. And there's four different kinds of soil. There's soil that is the pathway, or it's packed down or been walked on. There's soil that's shallow. It's just got a little bit of depth, got rocks and hard places in it, but the soil is shallow. And then there's soil that's got stuff growing in it. Weeds and thorns and maybe even trees growing in it. And then the fourth type of soil is good soil. But there's three kinds of good soil. Some of it just produces 30%. Some of it produces 60 and some 100. So there's three different types of good soil. But the fact of the matter is, here's what God's interested in. He's interested in your heart being good soil. Because if you read the thing, ultimately, the sower is the Son of Man. That's Jesus planting seed in the hearts of men. But listen to me, guys. If I could dig up this concrete right here, the dirt that's under this concrete, did you know if you do the right things that it'll grow stuff? I can go out here across the road and I can cut down some trees, dig up the stumps, get the roots out of the ground, plow up the ground, till the ground and plant seed, and it'll grow stuff. Because this earth was designed to receive seed. So the hearts of men were designed to receive the seed of God's Word. But let me tell you something. Some men's hearts are hard because people have walked on them. They've been walked on. Abused. Misused. Thrown away. Their hearts get hard. And the seed don't get in. Because they're defending themselves. They don't even let anybody talk to them because they've been walked on so much. They're afraid they're going to be walked on some more, so they don't listen to nobody. Then there's the type of soil, a man's heart, that he's shallow. Did you know there's some shallow Christians? Yep. Ain't much to them. They Christians, but they're pretty shallow. They got hard places in their heart. Something happened. Their heart didn't really get plowed up. Now, then there's the other kind of soil that's got stuff growing in it. Got thorns and bushes and weeds, but none of that stuff you can eat. It doesn't produce anything that produces life. But it's growing stuff. You throw the seed in there, it gets choked out because there's already other stuff growing there. Then there's the good soil that you put the seed in it, and it will produce some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, is God just wanting the good soil, or is He interested in them others also? I think, brothers, that He's interested in every man. It don't make any difference what kind of soil his heart is. God is interested in him. I want you to hold your place there in Matthew and go back to the book of James, chapter 5, I believe it is. And I'll show you something about the Lord and how He works. James chapter 5. I believe it's 5. Let's look and see. Yeah, James chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. The Scripture says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer..." Now the old King James says husbandman. See, a husbandman and a farmer is the same thing. A guy that's a farmer husbands the land. He looks after it. He cares for it. He protects it. He causes it to produce. "So be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." Now, I'm going to say something to you that you may not agree with, but it's all right. Just listen to what I'm going to say. He says, "Be patient till the coming of the Lord." Everybody thinks he's talking about the second coming of Jesus. I don't think so. I think Jesus wants to come to us and plow the soil of our hearts, but we have to let Him do that. The guy that's got the soil that's been walked on and packed down, God Himself knows how to touch that man's life to break it open so that he can receive the seed. The guy whose heart is shallow, doesn't have much soil, he's got stones and rocky places in his life, God knows how to get those things out. He knows how to do it. And the soil that's got thorns growing in it. Now, in Mark, he says this, "The soil that has thorns growing in it," this is what that is. That's a man who's concerned about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. In other words, he's got lots of stuff growing in his heart. The cares of this world, he's worrying about what's going to happen, how things are going to work out. The deceitfulness of riches. Did you know you can be deceived by money and not have any? It ain't just rich folks that's deceived by riches. Money will fool you. If you get your eyes on money, you're looking at the wrong thing. Some of you guys are here for that reason, because you had your eyes on making a bunch of money. Can anybody say amen? If ain't one of them here like that, there's some over there like that. That's why they're here, because they're going to make a bunch of money real quick. Make a trip from one town to another and somebody pay you a whole bunch of money for carrying just a little bitty package. Right? I told you about it before. I got a grandson that spent some time in one of these places, because he's going to make a whole bunch of money driving from Houston to Huntsville, Alabama. And they caught him. It ain't funny, but I'm glad he got caught. I am. Not because I wanted him to go to jail, but because I wanted God to get him out of that. Because he could be dead in a ditch someplace today if he hadn't have got stopped. So, the lust, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the lust for other things. Boats, airplanes, and nice clothes, and fancy cars. Are you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so that's the stuff that grows up in people's lives. Well, let me tell you a little secret, guys. God knows how to get... He's a good farmer. And that's what we just read there. Listen, let's go back again. James chapter 5. "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth." God's the farmer and He's wanting some fruit from your life. But you got to let Him plow in it. You've got to let God plow in your heart. Now, if I owned this property across the road here and I wanted to make a farm out of it to grow corn, I could go over there and cut down the trees and get out the stumps and get the roots out and plow the ground and do all the stuff that it takes. And the land can't say nothing because that dirt don't have a will. Right? But you got a will. And when God wants to start digging around in your life, it hurts. Because you ain't used to that happening. And you might say, well, I don't think I want to do that anymore. How many of you guys knew the Lord before you come to one of these places? Okay. Did you know the Lord before you came to this place?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, some of you guys, God started digging in your life and you didn't like it, thought it was just religious stuff, and you said, I don't believe I'll do that anymore. So God let you go your own way, and when you went your own way long enough, you come up against a wall and here you are. Because God ain't going to let you go. He loves you. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. So I've told you this before. One man, he said this. He said, God's Word says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's not a promise, he said. That's a threat. That's not a promise. God said, I'm coming after you. You're mine. You can't get away. Run as long as you want. I'm right behind you. I'll catch you. You can run, but you can't hide. All right. So, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. God wants to pour His Spirit out on your life. He wants to plow in your life. He wants to plant seed in your life so you can bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Now you say, well, how does God plow in my life? What does God do? What's the precept in the Scripture that talks about plowing or rooting out stuff? How does that work? Well, let me show you one place in the Scripture. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. And we'll look at one man. Now, there are others. But this is very, very easy to see here if you open your eyes. That's why Mark chapter 10. That's why I prayed that God would help us to see and help us to hear what He's saying. God's talking to you this evening, guys, if you listen. He's using these lips, but God's got something to say to you. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, talking about Jesus. It says, now as He was going out on the road, one came running, knelt down before Him, and asked Him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now listen to me. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Look at me. Let me have your eyes for a minute. Is salvation an inheritance? Or is it a gift? Okay, so salvation's a gift. He said, what must I do to inherit? He's not talking about being saved because this guy has the only relationship with God that any man can have at that time. Jesus is still walking around on the face of the earth. He hadn't been to the cross yet. He hasn't ascended to the Father yet. He hasn't poured out the Spirit. The only relationship that any man could have was that was provided through the Abrahamic covenant. And this man was a covenant man. He was a son of Abraham. And he saw Jesus going around doing some stuff that only a man that was sent from God could do. A man that was allowing the life of God to flow through him. And he said, how do I get to do what you're doing? That's what he was asking. How do I inherit this life of God that you got? You're a son of Abraham. How do I get to do what you're doing? And Jesus, listen to what Jesus said to him in verse 18. Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Well, you know right there he's not talking about being saved. Pay attention, guys. Don't get distracted by this other stuff. He said these are commandments you got to do, but you don't get saved keeping the commandments, do you?
No.
How do you get saved? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. So once again, I'm proving to you the rich young ruler wasn't talking about, and Jesus wasn't talking to him about being saved. He's talking about entering into the purpose of God. Verse 20. And the rich young ruler said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." He said, "I've done all that stuff. I've done what the word said do."
What do you mean from my youth?
From a young man. Just from a child. He said, "I was taught that and I've done that all my life." And so, verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Now let's talk about that a minute. He got a pen there for you. Let's look at this now. I want you to think about, here, let me tell you what y'all been told. Let me tell you what the preacher told you. The preacher told you, Jesus said, sell everything you have, give it all away, and come follow me. Is that right? Well, that ain't what Jesus said. Now listen. He said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor." He didn't say, "Give it." He didn't say, "Sell what you have and give it to the poor." He said, "Sell what you have, turn it into money, give some of that money to the poor folks, and come follow me." And he said, "I'm going to teach you how to do what." You say, "Well, why did Jesus tell him?" You say, you're supposed to give all your money. No, do you think God's crazy? God knows you need money to live in this world. Here's what the deal was. The man was controlled by his money and his possessions. Once he turned it, sold all his possessions, turned it into money, give some of it to the poor, he still got the rest of it. Go follow Jesus and help support the ministry. Now, you say, that's not true. Well, save your place there in Mark chapter 10 and go to Luke chapter 8, and I'll show you some folks that did that. And it gives their names. It gives their names. We've talked about this before. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "It came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Now he had his 12 disciples with him. "And certain women," besides the 12, it says there were certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who, what does it say? Provided for him from their substance. That word substance, can anybody tell me what that might mean? It means money. If you look in your Strong's Concordance right there and look up that word substance, it means wealth. These people had money. And you know what? I discovered one day there's not one verse, preacher, where Jesus took an offering. There ain't one verse in all the Gospels where Jesus passed the plate. The reason why is because he had these people right here that were meeting the needs of the ministry. And he was telling that rich young ruler, you sell what you have, convert it to money, give some of that money to the poor folks, bring the rest of it and come follow me, travel with me, you can help support the ministry. Like these people it named, there'd have been a man's name there. This is just named some women. But he was giving that guy, and did you know what? Something else he was giving him, an opportunity to get a return on his crop. When you sow seed in the kingdom of God, it always brings a harvest. He didn't even reap the harvest on his money. You say, how? I don't know. That's not my business. But I know that's what the Word of God says. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Well, he'd have been sowing finances into the kingdom. He'd have reaped some finances back somehow. But you know what that guy had? Listen to me and think with me. He had a great big old tree growing in his heart. Remember what we said? The soil, it had thorns in it. It's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. He had all of those growing. Great big old trees growing in his heart, and there wasn't no room for the seed of God's Word. So God, Jesus said, go cut down them trees. Sell all that you got and convert it to money. Listen, if he did, here's the deal. He didn't necessarily have a big pile of money in his hands, but it says this, he had possessions. That means he had houses and lands. When he sold those things, did you know if you got a bunch of houses and lands, you're pretty well tied to that stuff? You can't just... Hey, anybody know what a dairy farm is? Anybody ever work on a dairy farm or ever see one? Did you know if you got a dairy farm, you got to be there 24/7 because them cows got to be fed and milked every day, twice a day. You tied to that. You can make money with a dairy, but you tied to that, you can't do much else. A man got a business, got a bunch of houses, got a bunch of lands, he's tied to that. And this guy says, I want to do what you're doing, Jesus. Jesus said, cut loose from it. Cut loose from it, turn it to money, come follow me, and I'll show you how to do it. Now, go back to Mark chapter 10. And let's read verse 21 again. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. We're back to where he was talking to this rich young ruler. The guy said, I've observed all these things from my youth. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and do what?
Follow me.
Follow me. Now let me show you two other men he said that same thing to. That's 10:21. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Now this is right after. Now guys, I want you to think. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Think with me now. Listen to what I'm saying. This is right after Jesus had been up on the Mount of Temptation. You remember the devil come to him and said, if you really are the Son of God, do this. And if you really are the Son of God, do that. Well, Jesus had been through all of that. And here we are in verse 17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, what did he say? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, did you know what? That's exactly the same thing he said to the rich young ruler. Follow me. When he said it to Matthew or to Peter and Andrew, what was he doing? He was inviting them to a life of discipleship, to become his disciples. He was going to teach them how to do what he did, to live the way he lived, to live in respect to God as a child of God. He said exactly the same thing to the rich young ruler. Sell what you have, Give to the poor and come follow me. I'll disciple you. I'll make you my disciple. Now, let me ask you another question. Who could tell me what an apprentice is? What is an apprentice?
Someone who learns what they can about their trade. So
who do they learn from?
I guess you call them the predecessors.
Okay, a master craftsman. A master craftsman can disciple or make an apprentice of somebody that don't know anything about it. Well, huh?
They don't know much about it yet.
Yeah, but you, did you know what? If you wanted to, do you know how to lay brick? Did you know what? You know what it looks like, but you ain't never done it, probably. Yeah, but if you wanted to learn how, if you'd go to work for some old guy who'd been doing it for 30 years, you could learn how.
Yeah.
That's an apprentice. That's a disciple. And Jesus was saying to these guys, if you come follow me, I'll teach you how to do what I do. Live how I live. Be what I am. A son of God in the earth. And he was saying exactly the same thing to the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was asking for that. He said, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get to do what you're doing? How can the same life that's in you work through me? Well, did you know what, guys? This invitation that we just read here in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is still saying that.
Amen.
Now look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. 28:18. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. In other words, he said, you go make some disciples like I made disciples out of you. Now, can I tell you what he didn't say? He didn't say, go get a bunch of people saved. He said, make disciples. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you guys know Jesus as Lord and claim to be saved? Okay, good. I don't doubt that. I don't question your salvation. But I want to know, how many of y'all ever had somebody you could follow around that day by day taught you, trained you, qualified you, and equipped you to live the life Jesus talked about? You ever had anybody disciple you? You're rare birds. It's a rare thing. I'll tell you what. Can I just be real honest with you? It didn't work real good or you wouldn't be here.
Right.
It didn't work real good for you or you wouldn't be here. You may be in a discipling process, but you didn't pay enough attention or you wouldn't be here.
Right.
Now, I love you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hurt you, but I want you to think.
Right.
You see, maybe the guy that you thought was discipling you didn't know as much as you thought he knew.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but there's a problem somewhere. There's a problem somewhere. Yes, sir.
Mine started in jail.
Yours started in jail. Well, now, I can understand that. You know, God don't care where you start. He'll take you where you are. And if it didn't work before, don't quit. But discipleship, coming under the training and the authority of somebody that's been there, done that, successfully doing it, producing fruit, helping you plow in your heart. You see, what God's interested in is, what kind of man are you? Go back to Mark chapter 10, and we'll see what Jesus talked about there. You see, he was dealing with what kind of man this guy was. Chapter 10, verse 19. You see, part of the problem is, guys, that the discipling process has left out the commandments. When Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler in verse 19, he said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Now, here's something I need to say to you. There are 10 commandments, right? God gave Moses 10 commandments up on the mount. 4 of them have to do with how you treat God. 6 of them have to do with how you treat your fellow man. And that's what he said here. He said, you may have been treating God right, but you ain't treating man right. See, how many of you know sometimes folks got big trees like the love of money growing up in their life? They don't treat people right. They're concerned about number one. And so he said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. That means don't be lying. And do not defraud, don't cheat. And honor your father and mother. Every one of those have to do with how you treat people. And so God's interested in teaching people, discipling people on how you live and how you treat people. You remember Jesus said there's 2 commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the next one? Your neighbor as yourself. Treat the other guy just like you'd like to be treated. We call that the golden rule. Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Not do unto others before they do it to you. That's what the world does. We do it to him before he does it to me. You know, that's not what Jesus said. Do unto others in the same way that you would do unto them. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors, he prayed. Are you hearing me? So, Jesus is part of the discipling process is teaching us to be the right kind of people. The right kind of people live in the right way. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. They don't defraud. And they do honor their father and mother. That's living right. God's interested in how you live. Now, you say, well, are you telling me I wasn't saved? No, I didn't tell you you wasn't saved. I just say you ain't living right. You wouldn't be here if you'd been living right. I love you, but that's the truth. Now, when you say, well, I've repented. I've been reconciled to God. Glory to God. I'm glad. But let's go do it right now. Let's learn how we have to start practicing doing it right. You see, many of us have had years of practicing it. I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord. But when I'm not at church, it's another little story. I act another way, talk another way. Act, you know, treat people different. No, but when I get to church, I really got on my holy shoes. got my big Bible and my Sunday go to meet and smile. Don't tell me anything. I know how it works. I've been there and done that and seen all that kind of stuff. Everybody got a different face they put on Sunday morning than they have Saturday night. Can I tell you, brother, something a guy told me one time, and I don't mean anything out of the way about this. Guy was working. I was a young guy, and he's worked. My dad had him and me working for us. This brother said, Melvin, he said, if you ever just be a black man one night, you'd never one Saturday night, you'd never want to be anything else. And I said, well, that might be true, but I can't go do what you do on Saturday nights. I might be a black man on a Saturday night, but I'd have to live with my conscience the next morning. I'm sorry, I just had to tell you that because I thought it was kind of funny when he told me. If I offended you, please forgive me. It wasn't intended. Is that? But that's how people do. Saved people do that kind of stuff. You can say amen because that's how it works. That's what they do. What am I talking about? What I'm talking to you about is deciding you're going to be a disciple. You get to choose what kind of soil your heart's going to be. And if you're going to be the kind of soil that's going to produce a good crop, then you got to let God plow in your life. And whenever I go over here across the street and cut up them trees and dig up the stumps and get the roots out and start plowing it, when I plow that ground, I'm discipling the land. What a farmer does when he works the land, he's discipling it, making the land bring forth a crop. Well, discipleship is what God will use to cause your life to bring forth a crop. But you got to be willing to submit to it. John chapter, you can write this down, I'll just quote it for you. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, "In the world you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And then there's one other thing, I got it written down here, I want to look at it a minute. And 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This new Bible I got, the pages still stick together and I'm having a little trouble getting around in it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Oh me. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. It says this, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Now this suffering, hold your place there in 1 Peter and go to the book of Hebrews and I'll show you where it says Jesus suffered. In Hebrews chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 verse 8. It says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Doesn't mean he was sick. Doesn't mean he had a broke arm or a broke leg. It means the experiences that he went through. Well, I should have stayed there. Let's go back. Don't leave. I did. I'll go back to it. There's a little bit more that I need to read to you there. He says, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected," that means brought to maturity, "he became the author of eternal salvation." Did you know Jesus was disciple too? The circumstances that he walked through in the days of his flesh were a discipling for him so that he could set the example for us. He was even going through pain in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember? "Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will." It was hurting. His flesh didn't want to do that, but he brought his flesh under. He come under here's the word, the authority of God, and he come under that and obeyed. He didn't get out from under it. Too many times God puts us in a place and it's difficult and we don't stay under. That staying under is to train you, to teach you, to qualify you, to equip you to walk in this earth as sons of God. But it comes through discipleship. And you're never too old. You're never too old to learn. If you're alive, you can learn. If you're alive, you can learn to submit. You can become. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God." He gave you power to become, power to endure. Jesus said, "In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So you can overcome too, because He lives in you. But you have to be willing to come under the training, under the hand of the Lord. Now let me tell you, sometimes God will just, you say, "Well, I can submit to God." Yeah, but what if God puts somebody in your life that He wants you to come under? Will you do that? Will you let a man speak God's word to you and you obey? Or do you have to always just hear God for yourself? Listen to this. Luke chapter 2. Jesus was in the temple at the age of 12, talking to the lawyers and the Pharisees and all that bunch, the scribes, and asking questions and giving answers, and the men were amazed. Mary and Joseph come and said, "What are you doing here?" Well, he said, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" They said, "You come go home with us." And you know what he did? For 18 more years, he went home and come under the discipline, the training, the discipleship of a woman called Mary and a man called Joseph. He was trained in... Do you know the Bible calls him the carpenter? Where did he learn that? He was an apprentice to Joseph. He learned how to be skillful, to do a good work, to work with his hands. He wasn't lazy. I don't think Jesus' hands were soft. I think his hands were calloused because he worked with tools, worked with wood. He was a hard-working man. I don't think he was a sissy. All them pictures you see of him, he looks kind of like a sissy. He wasn't no sissy. He's a man. He's a strong man. He couldn't have carried that cross. Let me hook up a 10-foot, 6x6 beam, just one of them on you. See how far you going to walk after you had whip worked on you a while. See how he did that. Finally he fell. And then Bible says he had somebody help him carry it. Guy named Simon. Yeah. A good black brother. That's who he was. Carried his cross. Yeah, he was. He's a black man. Yes, sir. He sure did. So, let me tell you guys what God's saying. Begin to ask the Lord what it means to be discipled. Ask God who He wants to disciple you. Find somebody who God can use to teach you, to train you, to shape and mold in you the life that's already there. God's put something in you, but He's got to do some changing. And that's, look, brothers, that's true. That ain't just, I don't preach this just to guys wearing orange. I preach this to them people in the church that I pastor too. It isn't just you guys. The church as a whole needs this message. Before we come here this afternoon, I was up 10 miles north of here with a preacher and his wife telling them the same thing I'm telling you. And they looking at me and say, "Brother Tisdale, we didn't know this. Nobody ever told us." Nearly had him in tears, but they said it's God's word and we got to do something with it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I don't treat you guys any different than I treat the preachers I run with. I tell you guys the same things I tell them, because you're part of the body of Christ too. Amen. You need to hear what they hear. Amen. And the reason why you need to hear it, because there's guys over there that don't come, that you can share it with them. And the first way you're going to share it with them is let them see it working in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Thoughts or questions?
I have a question. Talk about what God meet him. I met God in the prison. Yeah. The thing about it ain't where you at when you come to meet God.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times he said in his word, he said all things work together for the good of them that love God.
That's right.
According to his purpose. If he had to use this element to get you where you need to be, he'll use it.
That's exactly
if
true.
He used the element to get the children of Israel where they're supposed to be, because all the time they stayed in captivity.
Yeah.
You know, they still did other things, played with other God, but they walked with God hand and foot.
Yep.
And didn't believe.
That's right.
Here we is, just we the man ain't never seen it, but we believe in our heart.
Yeah.
See, one thing about growing, you grow as you fall. You understand what
yeah.
I mean? As you fall, get back up, you're growing.
That's right.
See, once a tree bear all the leaves, the tree is stay growing. But we look at it, oh, you look dead and know, tree stay growing.
That's right.
We'll just spread our leaves, we look like it's weak. That's the same way with me.
That's
so
right.
That's the reason why when he brought us here, he brought me here to hear you.
Well, praise the Lord.
So therefore, you know what I'm saying? I'm honored to feel somebody that got some wisdom.
Thank you.
Understand what I'm saying? I sit down to honor a lot of men. I don't take to everything they say.
I understand
and
that.
I studied to show myself approved unto God as a servant. You know what I'm saying? If I'm doing it for God, then men don't have a problem with it.
That's right. That's exactly true. I appreciate you saying that, brother. I really do. Yes, sir.
Okay. We are supposed to be like the disciples, so what are all we supposed to be
identical to what they were equipped with?
Well, you know what? I think the same Jesus that spoke to them, Jesus said in John 17, he's praying to the Father, he said, "The words that you've given to me, I've given to them." And then he told them in that last chapter of Matthew, he said, "The things that I've commanded you, you go make other disciples and teach them the same thing I've taught you." So the way Jesus said to live is still valid today. And the teach, but people have to learn how to do that, because all of us have had our mind and our thinking, our view of the world has been trained by the world. And the Bible says this world is under the sway or under the rule or control of the wicked one. So we got to get born again. We got to begin to renew our minds, and we got to begin to decide that I'm going to learn to live the way He said live. Don't make any difference what anybody else says. I got to find out what he's saying and set my course to do that. And when you do that, then there's going to be problems, because there's going to be people who think you're crazy. There's going to be people that even love you that say, "You don't need to do that. You don't have that's it's not you don't have to be that religious." Well, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about being spiritual, having a relationship with the Almighty God and allowing Him to father you, to nurture you. Many times, lots of times, he will work through another man that he puts in your life in a personal relationship. Paul did that with Timothy. He did that with Titus. He did that with a guy named Onesimus. Peter did it with a guy named Mark. He's mentioned in the Bible. Peter calls Mark, John Mark, his son. And John, he doesn't call him names, but he is all the time talking about his little children that he had fathered in the Lord. And in fathering them, he was teaching, training, qualifying, discipling them on how to live. How to live. That when Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler, he was telling him how to live. You know the commandments. Live this way. Get rid of what's controlling you and come follow me. And that's the bottom line. And it's another way of thinking. There's a song we used to sing, and it goes like this. See if I can sing it. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, peace. He these... I lost the word. Love, joy, peace. He has made these mine. And I lost the tune too, guys. It's been too long since. But anyway, that's how it goes. If I sang it a time or two, I'd finally get to it.
You know what God's saying? I'm going to say this in saving. This in saving.
Yes, sir.
Because 2 years ago, before this gospel, it did, man. The guy had put a clip in my head 4 feet from
me. He did what?
The clip of 357 in my head 4 feet from me.
Huh.
And God was there. There's no way I supposed to been here. There's no way. But what I'm saying is, I was my biggest enemy.
Mostly that, we all do that.
And it took this to save me to do what God wanted me to do. I think I feel like Jonah. You understand what I'm saying?
You've been spit out on the beach, huh?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of us are saved. Because, you know what? You didn't pick up our Bibles out there like you're supposed to. A lot of them had dust on them.
Yeah.